For over 22 years, Selective Search has been the nation's leading matchmaking firm. We are seeking single, down-to-earth, Republican bachelors with Christian family values. We represent California women of substance who are looking for the one. We invite you to join our complimentary candidate program. Visit SelectiveSearch.com today. Spend your time falling in love, not searching for it, at SelectiveSearch.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Very happy to have you with us today. Wow, do we have a lot going on. So I want to start out by talking about just a bizarre story. I wish I could understand, and I'm trying to wrap my head around what's going on over at Fox and inside some of the other conservative media outlets. But right now, I'm not willing to call it a civil war yet within the conservative side of the party. I think there is a civil war that's underway in the Republican Party at large between the establishment and the Make America Great Again movement. But within that Make America Great Again movement, there is a raging debate over who is going to be the standard bearer. Now, yesterday, President Trump was in Iowa, and we're going to be talking with our good friend Jeff Stein, who is boots on the ground in Iowa, a little bit later on, to get his take on the president's speech yesterday. But you had thousands of people standing outside in line for hours in below freezing temperatures to see President Trump. I don't see that happening with any of the other candidates. I just don't. So you may, again, you may be in the establishment. You may be in the conservative media world, and you may be looking at Trump, and you do not want him to run again, but I think the base of the party is pretty much all Trump. Which leads me to the weird stuff happening over the past couple of days. You've had all these leaks with the emails about Tucker Carlson and a bunch of the other folks over at Fox who love Trump on air, but behind the scenes, they hate the guy. As a matter of fact, Tucker Carlson said he hated Trump passionately. Now, Trump is out there saying yesterday, he said, hey, look, Trump doesn't, or that Tucker doesn't hate me anymore. I don't know. I don't know. But the other day, and this is what's weird, it's the language. You know, a lot of these guys work off talking points, and I don't do that. I just simply refuse to work off talking points. Many of you listen to this program because you want to hear my opinion. You don't want to hear what somebody told me to tell you. And that's one of the reasons that I'm glad I'm not at Fox anymore. I'm glad I don't work for corporate talk radio because nobody can tell us what we can and we cannot talk about. But it's clear to me that somebody's working off talking points here because they used a very odd phrase. Over the past 2 days, you've had Alex Jones and Tucker Carlson both call President Trump autistic. Now, I'm going to play this audio for you so you can hear it for yourself. And when I first heard it, I thought, well, wait a second. Autism is, again, is that something that you would say if, say, we're Dylan here, who's answering the phone. So I'm like, Dylan, you're looking very autistic today. Is that considered to be a compliment? And that is a genuine question because I've never heard that word used to describe a presidential candidate, especially by people who at least publicly support the guy. But I don't know now. So I'm trying to figure out what's going on here. But first of all, and we've cleaned up the language a bit, but here is Alex Jones calling President Trump autistic and charismatic. Cut number 5.
Think of all these texts from the Fox News people saying they didn't buy the election fraud stuff, but they had to delicately tread around that topic.
I know all about it.
Yeah.
I can tell you all about it. I don't want to hurt any friends of mine. Okay.
But here's what happened. I mean, Trump used to do stuff like call my wife up.
Yeah.
Like one day I walk in the house and my wife's like, oh, Trump's on the phone. And this is like 6 years ago, 5 years ago. I go, really? I go, hey, Alex, I'm talking to your wife right now. And then she hangs up the phone. She goes, yeah, he just spent 15 minutes telling me you've got a real man. Your husband's the man. I mean, Trump is like, he's autistic and he's very charismatic and he's very, like, conversations with Trump on the phone are not what's on TV. Slick. I mean, like, he's sucking your I'm telling these stories because they're true. And to me, I told Trump, I said, dude, I don't want to be told how badass I am. I'm not that badass.
Right.
I want you to arrest the deep state.
All right. Sorry, I told you it was profane. My apologies there. But you get it. You get what they were saying. Now, here's Tucker Carlson calling Trump autistic just a little bit later after that.
I saw Trump said he could close that in 24 hours if he wanted to.
Talking about the wall.
I have no idea. I mean, he couldn't build a border wall in 4 years. So, you know, there is a gap between promises and delivery with all politicians, very much including him. But I will say, in Trump's defense, and maybe because he's a little bit autistic, he saw.
So he snickered there. Were they trying to insult Trump? Were they trying to compliment Trump? I don't get this. I see these attacks coming from the left. I would expect someone from CNN or MSNBC to attack Trump. I don't think I've even heard anybody on the left call President Trump autistic. Has that even been a topic of conversation? Have I been living in a cave for the past 7 years and I've just completely missed this? So what's going on here? Is it possible that we could see all of conservative media lining up against Donald Trump? I find that very hard to believe because it seems to me that if you do that, you destroy yourself. You destroy your brand if you stand against Trump. But I don't know. Were they complimenting the president here, or were they trying to poke at the guy? 844-747-8868. That's our phone number. That's 844-747-8868. All I can tell you is it is going to get very ugly within the conservative world. And here's the promise that I'm making to you. I'm just going to tell you what I think. If somebody says something about Trump, we're going to play it for you so you can hear it for yourself. Somebody has an email and Dominion is leaking all the emails, and all the emails are authentic. All right. I want you to understand that all the Fox emails are authentic. And we know that because it is in an official court document. So they acquired all of this information from Fox News Channel and Discovery. So we know it's all accurate. So we will read the emails verbatim. We will play the audio so you can make a decision for yourself, because these guys are telling you one thing on air and another thing off air. Now, I hope, and we've got a smart audience here. You guys are the cream of the crop when it comes to talk radio. And you know that you don't make your decisions on who you vote for based on what Todd Stern says or Tucker Carlson or Alex Jones. You all have working, functioning minds, and you're able to read through all of this. But it's important for you to know that all of this stuff out there exists. But I don't know. It's hard to trust people who praise Trump in public and then attack him privately. But now these guys who praise Trump are now attacking him. And it doesn't make any sense. But it's going to get ugly. Very ugly. Oh, by the way, President Trump yesterday, talking about Ron DeSantis, says DeSantis reminds him of Willard Mitt Romney. Cut four.
But you have to remember, Ron was a disciple of Paul Ryan, who is a rhino loser who currently is destroying Fox and would constantly vote against entitlements. He would just vote against. Remember that? The wheelchair over the cliffs. The Democrats used it. The wheelchair over the cliff commercial. Very effective. That was about him. But Ryan, Paul Ryan's a big reason that Mitt Romney, I'm not a big fan of Mitt Romney, lost his election. And to be honest with you, Ron reminds me a lot of Mitt Romney. So I don't think you're going to be doing so well here, but we're going to find out. But those are the facts.
And those are the facts. Now, I'm, again, up front, and I think that's important. Apparently, we got a big problem with that now in the conservative movement. Nobody wants to be honest with their audience. So I'm just going to be as honest as I can possibly be. I'm throwing in with Donald Trump. I think the guy deserves a second chance. Got a raw deal. When you go back and when you look at all of the things that they accused Trump of doing, it was all fabricated. It was all make-believe, and they wanted to taint him in your minds. And I went back and I looked through all that. Look, I felt the same way many of you felt many times as these allegations were coming out. But now we know them all not to be true. And so I believe, based simply on that, this man deserves a second chance. All the hell that Donald Trump has gone through and his family, yeah, I think he deserves a second chance. Does that mean that I hate Ron DeSantis and I think he's a flaming leftist? No, absolutely not. And I disagree with the president. I don't believe Ron DeSantis is Mitt Romney. I think DeSantis would make a great president. And many of you thought that DeSantis would make a great president just a couple of months ago. But I don't believe he's a raging leftist. I don't even think he's a rhino. So we've got to keep our minds open moving forward here, folks, because it's going to get ugly. Lots of things are going to be said. That's the political process. But as for me, yeah, I'm a Trump guy, and I really don't care what you think about that. All right, we got to take a break here. When we come back, we've got some new information on Mike Pence, who has clearly offended Pete Buttigieg and his husband, Chastain. We're going to get to that. Also, Joe Biden now says that he was pro-gay marriage back in 1961. We are fact-checking the president on this one. Folks, again, our number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
COVIDTaxRelief.org got a small retail business almost $80,000. COVIDTaxRelief.org got a manufacturing business nearly $250,000. And COVIDTaxRelief.org just got a large distribution business almost $900,000. If you run a business, a church, or a nonprofit and paid your employees through all or part of the pandemic, you could qualify for up to $26,000 per employee through the government's CARES Act. But beware of clickbait or pay upfront companies who make you do the work and take a huge percentage of your refund. COVIDTaxRelief.org receives a low reasonable commission only after you receive your refund. And with 300 CPAs and tax experts, no one is better at getting you the maximum benefit than COVIDTaxRelief.org. Visit COVIDTaxRelief.org now because this plan expires soon. That's COVIDTaxRelief.org, COVIDTaxRelief.org. Refund examples are not a guarantee and not all businesses qualify.
All right, just a heads up, a little behind the scenes news for you here. If the bumper music goes on a little bit longer than usual, it's because I'm trying to fill out my brackets. I got to get those done. I'm always procrastinating when it comes to the brackets. But I've got either Memphis or Tennessee. The way I do it, I fill out the final four and then I work my way back. That's it. That's how I do it. You say, has that worked for me? Well, let's see, over the past 15 years, I've been doing brackets. No, absolutely not. But I'm a creature of habit. What can I say? All right, 844-747-8868. That is our telephone number. Let's go to Andrew in Maine, WLOB. So, Andrew, I'm just a little perplexed by the use of the term autistic here. Maybe you can help me out.
Yeah, thanks, Todd, for the time. And I actually just picked up my daughter who has autism, so I was running a little bit hot with respect to the use of that language. And I won't spend too much time on it, but I'm perplexed as well. I thought it was a kind of an outlier with respect to an adjective. I have an autistic daughter. I don't think she's anything like Donald Trump.
No, that's what I thought. I thought exactly what you thought, and that is, I think, even more offensive in my estimation. I just don't get it.
Right, and one other point I wanted to ask you about is you mentioned that, and I voted for Donald Trump twice. I've kind of moved away from his camp, but when you say he's not a rhino, do you think the Republicans are in any way, shape, or form kind of responsible for this bloated budget problem that we currently have? I'm just curious because it seems like the the elephant in the room that no one wants to talk about.
1,000%, Andrew. And this goes back multiple administrations. I would go back to George W. Bush, and they spent money like they were drunk Democrats. And nobody wants to address this. And I'll tell you something else, Andrew. It's, you know, we talk about the investigations into Biden and Hillary and Obama. They've been investigating for 5 years, the Republicans have. 5 years. And we've got nothing out of that. Absolutely nothing. So
I couldn't agree more.
So at some point, and I brought this up on back when I had the show on Fox, I would bring this up to these Republicans who would come on and they're like, well, we got him this time. This is gonna implode the entire Democrat Party. But it never does. And so at some point, it just becomes a waste of time and money. And we're getting very, very close to that right now.
No, and you could even circuitously draw a connective line between this and what's going on with these bailouts as well. It's like, you know, you live in a blue state, you're safe. You live in a red state, you're kind of out of luck, right?
Andrew, I will say this about the bailouts for the banks. This is a pretty nefarious scheme because it looks to me like Biden is using this as a way to shut down as many regional or locally owned banks as possible and consolidate power with the bigger banks. We've been telling people here in Tennessee where we're based, you support your locally owned banks.
I couldn't agree more, Todd. Well, thanks for your time.
All right. God bless you, Andrew, and God bless your little girl there. It sounds like a sweet child. And it's I just don't get it, people. We're gonna destroy our own. That's what we're gonna do here if we keep this nonsense up. All right, I want to talk about this Mike Pence joke. It has taken on a life of its own, and I'm going to share with you the joke that Mike Pence told, and I want to give you some context. So every year, and they've been doing this for generations, there's something called the Gridiron Club, and every year they host a dinner, and it's a time for the reporters and the politicians of all parties. Everybody gets together. They share a meal. It is raucous. It is a roast. And so they get up there, and they tell horrible jokes about everybody, right? And the whole point is everybody laughs because the best jokes, there's a little nugget of truth in those jokes. And Mike Pence was invited to participate, and to his credit, he showed up. And again, there are no videos allowed, no recording devices allowed, and it is a strict policy. Again, because of the nature of it, and it's important because you build camaraderie, and even though you may hate each other and your policies, you still get together and you can share a drink, share a meal, and laugh at each other. We need that in Washington. So anyway, here's the joke that Pence told, and it has set everybody off. He said, when Pete Buttigieg's two children were born, he took 2 months maternity leave, whereupon thousands of travelers were stranded at the airports. The air system shut down. Airplanes nearly collided in midair. I mean, Pete Buttigieg is the only person in human history to have a child, and all the rest of us get postpartum depression. It's kind of a funny joke, right? That's not a knee slapper, but, you know, it's a good joke. Well, the White House is going nuts, and so is Pete Buttigieg's husband, Chastity. The White House press secretary, self-declared lesbian, Corinne Jean-Pierre, KJP, said the former vice president's homophobic joke about Secretary Buttigieg was offensive and inappropriate, all the more because he treated women suffering from postpartum depression as a punchline. He should apologize to women and LGBTQ people who are entitled to be treated with dignity and respect. Now, Buttigieg's husband, Chastity, doggone, I keep Chastin, my apologies, Chastin. This guy is super sensitive, delicate. He says, an honest question for you, Mike Pence. After your attempted joke this weekend, if your grandchild was born prematurely and placed on a ventilator for 2 months, their tiny fingers wrapped around yours as the monitors beep in the background, where would you be? Jeez, Lou, take it down a few notches, Chastity. Chastity. So look, Vice President may not have been aware. There's an unwritten rule in woke America. You can make fun of heterosexual lawmakers. Have at it. But heaven help anybody who cracks a joke at a gay lawmaker. It is verboten. So it's not so much that Buttigieg is smug. it's that he doesn't have a sense of humor. Isn't that sad? And again, it's not like he was out there on the campaign trail cracking this joke. But here's what I want to know, ladies and gentlemen. There are a lot of liberals in that crowd. I want to know how many of them laughed at the joke. Nobody's talking. 844-747-8868. Was that homophobic? This is the Todd Stern Show. Just when you thought it could not get any better, Mike Lindell with MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow. Now, nearly 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes it even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with a brand new fabric that's made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. And for my listeners, an exclusive. The MyPillow 2.0 is buy one, get one free with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com/STARNS. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS for the buy one, get one free offer and enter the promo code STARNS. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. So Joe Biden, sitting down for an interview with Cal Penn, was he with, did he play in, was it the White Castle movie, Kumar and all those guys? I can't remember. I don't know. All these old comedy shows from the 90s, it is what it is. Anyway, Cal Penn is out there doing an interview with Joe Biden. And Joe Biden made a shocking revelation. Now, when it comes to telling lies, nobody does this better than the big guy. I mean, he's told some whoppers, and we can start with Corn Pop, the gang member, his make-believe friendships he had with the Amtrak train conductor. He said he used to be a truck driver. It goes on and on and on. So anyway, Biden has now come out and he's announced that he was actually supportive of gay marriage back in 1961 when he was a student in high school. Here's a clip of that interview. All right. Well, I'll come back to that in just a moment to cut number 11.
Every auntie and uncle that I have is beyond disappointed that there hasn't been a wedding yet, but Cardi B is going to marry us, apparently officiate our wedding, which would be nice. But my question for you, Mr. President, is you codified support for same-sex marriage and interracial marriages like ours. I'm curious what your evolution was like on marriage equality and what the federal government might be able to do to protect LGBTQ Americans, especially trans kids who are dealing with all these regressive state laws that are popping up right now.
I can remember exactly where my epiphany was.
Okay.
I hadn't thought much about it, to tell you the truth. And I was a senior in high school, and my dad was dropping me off. And I remember about to get out of the car, and I looked to my right, and two well-dressed men in suits kissed each other. I mean, they gave each other a kiss. And then one looked like he was heading to the DuPont building, and one looked like he headed to the Hercules Corporation building. And I'll never forget, I turned and looked at my dad. He said, Joey, it's simple. They love each other. It's simple. No, I'm not joking. It's simple. They love each other. And it's never been, it's just that simple. It doesn't matter whether it's same-sex or a heterosexual couple. They should be able to be married. What is the problem? So listen to your auntie and your uncle. Get married. Do it now. Don't wait. Transgender kids is a really harder thing. What's going on in Florida is, as my mother would say, close to sinful. I mean, it's just terrible what they're doing. It's not like, you know, a kid wakes up one morning and says, you know, I decided I want to become a man, or I want to become a woman, or I want to change. I mean, what are they thinking about here? They're human beings. They love, they have feelings, they have inclinations that are, I mean, it just to me is, I don't know, it's cruel. And the way we do it is we make sure we pass legislation like we passed on same-sex marriage. You mess with that, you're breaking the law, and you're going to be held accountable.
All right. So there's a lot to unpack here, but the president is a liar. But I'm just going to let's give him the benefit of the doubt for just a moment. Let's just say that's true, that he really did accept same-sex marriage back in 1961 as a teenager. If that's the case, then why in 1973 did Joe Biden openly oppose gays in the military in Congress? And he also said that gays were security risks within the federal government. In the 1990s, he voted for the Defense of Marriage Act, which, by the way, was signed by William Jefferson Clinton, a Democrat president. In 2008, he opposed redefining marriage. This is all very well documented. Biden also supported a measure to defund schools that presented homosexuality as a positive lifestyle alternative. So, again, going back to what he told us, that he was actually pro-gay marriage when he was a teenager in 1961, then why was he so adamantly opposed to gay marriage and gay people working in the government? So Joe Biden is either a liar or a hypocrite, or maybe he just forgot, as senile people do from time to time. But it's not a good look for this president. His voting record was clearly anti-gay and homophobic, again, using the words of the Democrats, right? Because anytime you stand up for traditional marriage, or anytime you stand up and you've got a problem with children being present when grown men in dresses spread their legs and children stuff dollar bills in their crotches, all of a sudden you're the immoral person for opposing that. So there you go, folks. Joe Biden in his own words. Biden also had something to say about these puberty blockers, and he says it is now a sin to ban these things. Cut number 15.
Transgender kids is a really harder thing. What's going on in Florida is, as my mother would say, close to sinful. I mean, it's just terrible what they're doing. It's not like, you know, a kid wakes up one morning and says, you know, I decided I want to become a man, or I want to become a woman, or I want to change. I mean, What are they thinking about here? They're human beings. They love, they have feelings, they have inclinations that are, I mean, it just to me is, I don't know, it's cruel. And the way we do it is we make sure we pass legislation like we passed on same-sex marriage. You mess with that, you're breaking the law, and you're going to be held accountable.
All right, there you go. So he believes that if you oppose these gender mutilation surgeries, if you oppose these efforts by the radical sex and gender crowd to mutilate the bodies of young children, then you are committing a sin against God. Do you understand where we are in the country right now? This is just mind-boggling. And one of the things they haven't done are studies on how many people who have undergone these procedures actually regret these procedures once they get older and actually understand what they've done. And by the way, these are all irreversible surgeries. Once it is snipped off, it's not growing back. Hate to break it to you. But they're not going to do those kinds of studies because we have seen, and again, we have no documentation because no studies have been done. But by and large, most of these people who have been through these kinds of surgeries that have come forward afterwards say they regret doing what they did and now have to spend the rest of their life taking medications. But Biden doesn't want to talk about that. So now understand where we are in the culture. So if you oppose letting kids go to drag shows, you're an immoral person. You're a sinful person. If you oppose letting kids as young as 6-7 years old whack off their private parts, you are the immoral person. You are the sinful person. According to the left, if you have a problem, and again, in some circles of the left, if you have a problem with pedophilia, you are the person who is immoral. You are the person who is sinful. Now, many of you are saying, well, Todd, this is outrageous. Well, of course it is. But let me explain how we got here to this point. We got here because nobody said anything. Nobody stood up. Nobody pushed back. We allowed ourselves to be bullied into this position. Now, we got a story. I'll give you a great example of this. We told you about this a few days ago. There was a school in Vermont, girls basketball team in the state playoffs, Mid-Vermont Christian School. And they pulled out of the tournament because there was a transgender student on the roster, and it went against their religious beliefs. But it was also a safety issue. They didn't want a biological boy playing on the basketball court with biological females. So they backed out of the tournament. And now word has come down, and this is from Fox News. Ryan Gatos is the writer. That school has now been barred from future tournaments. So the school is now being punished forever because it refused to accept the transgender player, the boy playing on the girls' team. The Vermont Principals Association ruled that Mid-Vermont Christian School had violated policies and is ineligible to participate in future tournaments. The move applies to all sports, so it's not just, it's whatever sports they have at Mid-Vermont Christian School, the kids aren't going to be able to play. Quote, the VPA again reiterates its ongoing support of transgender student-athletes as not only a part of building an inclusive community for each student to grow and thrive, but also as a clear expectation by Vermont state law. Again, remember what Biden said. You don't follow the LGBT agenda. There will be hell to pay. You will pay a price. You are breaking the law. A clear expectation by Vermont state law in the Agency of Education Best Practices and in VPA policy regarding transgender student athletes. So now these kids are not going to be able to play. They say that the Christian school failed to meet the association's policies on race, gender, and disability awareness. Well, I say good for the school for taking a stand and doing the right thing. But what they need to do now is sue the living daylights out of the state of Vermont because their rights have been violated. But again, in today's society, if you have a problem with a grown boy walking around buck naked, dragging around his moneymaker in the girls' locker room in front of God and country, then you are the one who is immoral and you are the one who is sinful. Do you understand where we are? Right is wrong. Wrong is right. Values turned upside down, everybody. Got to take a break. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Beloved author and media host Eric Metaxas tackles religious liberty, Marxism, the calling of the American church, and the cost of its silence in his new best-selling book, Letter to the American Church. With today's church at a crossroads, Metaxas looks to the German church of the 1930s and how its silence impacted world events. He cautions the American church not to make the same mistakes, as today's Christians face a crucial decision to stand up to the forces of evil slowly enslaving our culture. By discussing current issues, historical events, and prophetic warnings, Metaxas teaches us to champion the truth when it's needed most. With compelling logic and historical support, this book examines where the church has been and where it's potentially headed. Get your copy of Letter to the American Church, available now at Amazon.com and wherever books are sold.
So I have a question for you. Is it possible for a person to be a horrible president and be a good man? Yes or no? Is it possible for someone to be a good, decent American citizen, but at the same time to be a horrible president. And I, you know, again, in our politics, at least in modern history, we'll go back to, you know, the 1980s with Reagan. If you are a bad president, you are a horrible person. Now, that is certainly the case with William Jefferson Clinton and the wife, Mrs. Bill Clinton. No doubt about that. I would say the same thing is true about Barack Hussein Obama. The only difference is that maybe Obama was the better orator, but Obama and his wife hate this country, and they set the stage for what Joe Biden is doing now, and they are pulling the strings. But the person I'm talking about is Jimmy Carter. Is it possible for people to look at Jimmy Carter, who was the second worst president in American history, the first being Joseph Robinette Biden? But at the same time, you know, this guy out there, Jimmy Carter, up until he could no longer raise a hammer, was out there building homes for Habitat for Humanity. He was a farmer, married to his wife for, what, over 70 years. He was faithful to his wife, got the family, the grandkids, great-grandkids. So I'm just curious, have we come to a point in American history where you can't separate the politics from the person? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Well, folks, everybody is talking about one place for news these days, and it's our friends at Newsmax. I watch it all the time. You can see me every Thursday at 4:45 Eastern. You need to watch Newsmax. The liberals, man, they hate that channel, and for good reason. It's becoming one of the most popular channels in America. Every night you can watch Greta, Rob Schmidt, Eric Bolling, Greg Kelly. No surprise, Newsmax is already the fourth highest-rated cable news channel and growing fast. You can get Newsmax on most cable systems. Just check your cable guide. And if they don't carry Newsmax, just switch to a cable system that does. It's very simple. And remember, Newsmax is also free on streaming. Samsung Plus, Roku, Zumo, Pluto, even Apple. You can also download the free Newsmax app. I do that. You can watch Newsmax on your smartphone. Millions of people are making the switch to Newsmax. I made the switch, and you can too, because Newsmax is real news for real people. All right. Wow. We've got a great show for you coming up here, folks. Congressman Greg Stube is going to drop by, weighing in on the banking crisis. Also, Jeff Stein from KXEL will join us later on talking about President Trump's trip to Iowa. And Congressman Eric Burleson, who is from the great state of Missouri, just came back from a visit to the border, and he's going to weigh in on what he saw down there at the border. It is not good. I'll just give you guys a preview. It is not very good. All right. I want to go back to some audio, by the way, of President Trump also talking about Joe Biden. Cut number three.
We had an election that was not a good situation, not good at all. You've seen a lot of the reasons for it's a disgrace. We got more votes than any sitting president in history by a lot, by millions. We got 75 million votes more. That's what they report. They say the other guy got 80. I don't think so. He did one hell of a job from his basement.
Well, there you go. Meanwhile, Biden is actually wondering if, in fact, he is commander-in-chief. Cut number 10.
I don't know whether our friends can hear, but the USS Missouri, can you hear us? I see them all over there. They're standing at attention. Can I tell them at ease? I'm their commander in chief, right? I mean,
wow. Oh, man. That's, yeah. Yeah. Not many sailors out there, huh? Not many. Unbelievable. But there you go. Nancy Pelosi, though, says, hey, Biden is a magnificent leader. Cut 12.
He's absolutely a magnificent leader. He is younger than I am, so I don't know what the so I don't know what the problem is, but in but in any event, I hope that he will soon make some announcement.
Yeah, he's running again, man. She's giggling like a schoolgirl. What's up with that? She and Biden, well. Sorry, it's the lunch hour. I don't even want to go there. So anyway, folks, by the way, now is a great time to head over to the website and check out our upcoming trip to Israel. We have the itinerary posted. We'll be leaving for Jerusalem in November, and we would love for you to join us and be a part of our Holy Land tour. Again, that's coming up November 12th through the 19th, and we have all the information there. All the places we will be visiting, the Mount of Beatitudes, the Western Wall, Nazareth. We're going to be going to the Garden Tomb, Mount of Olives, Pilate's Palace, the Garden of Gethsemane, and the list goes on and on and on. What's really unique, this is a Holy Land tour and also a geopolitical tour. So we're going to be getting a tour of the Israeli Knesset, the parliament. It's going to be a wonderful trip. Family friendly. We would love for all of you to join us. You can go to toddstarns.com, click on the top banner right there, and we'll see you in Israel. Stick around. Hour 2 coming up next.
As the Biden administration ratchets up its war on Americans' right to keep and bear arms, a groundbreaking new book from Regnery Publishing pushes back and offers hope for the future. Professional firearms instructor and veteran gun store owner Larry Correa's new book, In Defense of the Second Amendment, pulls back the curtain on Washington's gun-grabbing agenda and how you can protect your rights. You'll learn why gun-free zones are more dangerous for college students and average citizens, how so-called gun control laws handcuff law-abiding Americans while allowing dangerous violent criminals to run wild in our cities, and offers solid details on how America has a history of gun ownership that is under attack by liberals in Congress. If you care deeply about protecting your Second Amendment rights and keeping your family safe, you must read In Defense of the Second Amendment, new from Regnery, available now at Amazon.com and wherever books are sold.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Wow, we got a lot going on today. Pardon me. So, big Easter egg drama to tell you about, and you gotta hate PETA. Man, those folks. You know, they're always in a perpetually bad mood, and I have a theory about this. The reason why the PETA crowd is always in a foul mood is because they don't eat meat. I think it is that straightforward. They just don't have enough meat in their diet. So anyway, PETA's all upset because of the annual White House Easter egg roll. It has ruffled feathers among the anti-poultry crowd. They're calling on First Lady Dr. Mrs. Jill Biden to stop using real chicken eggs in the Easter egg roll. Now, let me stop you here. I thought, for some reason, I just thought they always used the wooden eggs that were, you know, dyed, and the kids roll them around with the spoon or whatever. But apparently, those are actually real eggs. American farmers have donated more than 70,000 eggs every year for the annual Easter egg tradition right outside the White House on the lawn. So Ingrid Newkirk is the PETA president, and she's very upset. She says, quote, chickens are smart, sensitive animals who feel pain and empathy. They have distinct personalities, and at just a few days old, they can count and perform basic addition and subtraction. Yet they are factory farmed in hen prisons, and the eggs they produce are stolen for humans to eat. Yes, as God intended. Might I also add to what PETA says that chickens are also delicious, especially if they are dipped in batter and deep fried. So now the PETA crowd wants the White House to either use plastic eggs or wooden eggs. And if those options aren't available, they recommended painting rocks that look like eggs. Now, I don't know about you, but every now and again, you just got to tell these mother cluckers to cluck off. PETA goes on to say, children who have a natural empathy for animals would be saddened to learn that the eggs at this family event came from mothers who spent their entire lives in cages smaller than a letter-sized sheet of paper, unable to lift a single wing, and were taken from her as soon as they were laid. It's a most foul irony, they said. So, I don't. You got a problem with this, folks? Do you really? Is that one of the most pressing problems in America, that they actually use hard-boiled eggs that have been dyed and laid on the White House lawn for the children to roll around? Anyway, there you go. We've got the story up on ToddStearns.com. Seems to me, PETA, they're happy to hop on down that bunny trail and dye whatever the heck they want to dye, whether it's the rocks or a block of fermented soy. Unbelievable. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. President Trump weighs in on the new DeSantis nickname. This is from the Daily Caller. Kerry Rogers is the writer. Former President Donald Trump weighed in on a nickname he reportedly might use for Republican Governor Ron DeSantis. It was reported that Trump is considering calling DeSantis Tiny D. Something. Wow. I thought they were going with DeSanctimonious. Trump has not publicly called the Florida governor any particular nickname. The Daily Caller asked Trump about the nickname during an interview with a few other reporters on his name on his plane. Quote, Tiny D is good. Tiny D. Trump said, remember this, if it weren't for me, Ron DeSanctimonious would right now be working at a law firm or maybe a Pizza Hut. I don't know. Earlier in the day, Trump told reporters the nickname Meatball Ron is too crude to use to describe DeSantis. Quote, I don't use that name. It's used by other people. I don't like that name. I think it's too crude. So wait a second. Let me get this straight here. Tiny D is okay, but Meatball Ron is too crude. All right. All right. What do y'all think about the president's nickname for DeSantis? Is it good? Is that going to stick, Tiny D? You know DeSantis is going to come out with something, so we'll see how that goes. All right, President Biden accidentally revealed how bad things are for poor President Carter, who is in hospice care. Biden says that President Carter has asked him to deliver the eulogy at his death. So certainly pray for the Carter family. That's a terrible story. So our good friend Paul Shanklin, who used to pal around with Rush Limbaugh in the day, but now pals around with us, sent us a musical salute, a sort of blast from the past, and it ties in very well with the banking crisis that's going on right now across America. You might remember Barney Frank back in the day, and Barney Frank was known as the banking queen. He is also on the board of directors of Signature Bank, which went belly up in New York. By the way, they quit doing business with Trump, which could be one of the reasons why they went belly up. So anyway, we thought you might enjoy this musical selection, A Blast from the Past.
House and use it. Go ahead, abuse it. You can do anything. Go out and have a queen.
there's more. There's more.
Take the long sword, show me. Hi, my friends, the furniture needed. Do it my way or beat it while the stock's crashing. That doesn't mean a thing. I'm still the banking queen. Never spank for a single thing. Banking queen, don't complain or you'll hear this scream. Oh, yeah. You can build, you can buy any house your heart desires. Boozy or down, financing, I am the banking queen.
The docile tones of Paul Shanklin and Barney Frank. Let me give you some background here on what's going on, because they're trying to blame Trump for these bank failures. But that's just simply not accurate. It was Barney Frank, the former Democrat, who co-sponsored the law that tightened banking regulations after the financial crisis. But he's also been on the board of directors at Signature Bank. And part of what former President Trump signed into law in 2018 raised the asset threshold to $250 billion, meaning Signature and other banks, this is from the Wall Street Journal, no longer needed to comply with the extra regulations set out in Dodd-Frank. And after that bill was signed, Signature Bank doubled in size to $110 billion in assets. And Barney Frank is raking in $2.4 million in compensation right now from Signature Bank. Barney Frank rejected the idea that the regulatory change abetted Signature's collapse. I don't know about that. But what I can tell you is this, that the Biden administration sees this as an opportunity to crack down on regional and smaller banks and consolidate those banks into the larger banks out there. This is nothing more than an attempt to nationalize banking in America. That's what's going on here. So pay attention in the coming days and see what happens next. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Did you know that the Christian faith led to the scientific revolution and gave us modern science? Did you know that atheism is incompatible with science? Did you know they have recently identified the very stones where Jesus stood before Pilate and the stone Bema upon which Pilate himself sat? Eric Metaxas answers these questions and more in his best-selling book, Is Atheism Dead? While culture tells us we started off as goo and that God is just a figment of our imagination, plain logic and reason informs us otherwise. Eric Metaxas brings in evidence from multiple fields, including archaeology, physics, and nanoscience, showing there has never been more evidence of God and a created universe. Written in a way that will open your eyes and unveil the answers to our biggest questions about human existence. Get your copy of Is Atheism Dead? At Amazon.com and wherever books are sold.
All right, folks, a bit of breaking news to share with you. This happening over international airspace over the Black Sea, where a U.S. Reaper drone has collided with a Russian jet. This is a Russian Su-27 jet. Now, the MQ-9 Reaper, this is not like the little drone you fly in your backyard. This sucker is pretty big. I think it's got a wingspan of about 66 feet. So this is a big, big drone. It has a maximum payload of 3,800 pounds and can actually be armed with Hellfire missiles. We don't know what was on that drone. This is from Fox News. This, again, just breaking, so we don't have a lot of information here. It was one of the one of two SU-27s flying. Again, international airspace, international waters. The propeller to the drone was damaged. It landed in the Black Sea west of Crimea. The jet, the Russian jet, was headed toward Crimea and apparently landed. So that's all the information we have right now. We will keep you updated. I'm telling you, this administration and this Pentagon, they are going to walk us right into a shooting war with the Russians if we're not careful. This is just crazy. So we'll keep you updated on this big breaking news story coming out of the Black Sea. Oh, this is an interesting story. The South by Southwest Festival underway in Austin. And a British actress, her name is Tilda Swinton. I like her. She says that she will not wear a mask on the set of her new project, even though she was told that she had to wear a mask. She was doing an interview, giving a keynote address at South by Southwest, the big festival. She said, "I'm actually just about to start shooting a picture in Ireland. I was told, full disclosure, and I'm sure this is being recorded, people in Ireland might hear it, to wear a mask at all times. And I'm not wearing a mask because I'm super healthy. And I've had COVID so many times, I'm so full of antibodies, and I have faith." And she also complimented the crowd in Austin for not wearing face masks themselves. She says, "It's very nice to see your faces unmasked." Swinton previously spoke of her affinity for cinema 9 years ago at the festival, said the pandemic had only amplified the film industry, and went on to deliver a very nice speech. So I'm glad to see at least one person in Hollywood that's standing up and saying, "Yeah, we're not going to do this anymore." Because when I was in Washington, D.C. for CPAC, I had never seen so many people wearing the face burkas. I mean, it was insane. Just about everybody walking around, and you knew they were Democrats, was wearing one of those masks. Absolutely unbelievable. So good for you, ma'am. I appreciate you taking a good stand there. All right, coming up a little bit later, we're going to be talking to Congressman Greg Stube from Florida, also Jeff Stein from KXEL, and Congressman Eric Burleson is going to be here. He's just getting back from the border, interested to get his thoughts after they had so many, what, about 1,000 or so illegals try and storm our border. Want to get back to President Biden. President Biden, again, says that climate change is a real thing, and he says if we don't do something, an entire generation is going to be lost. Cut number 8.
If we don't keep the temperature from going above 1.5 degrees Celsius raised, then we're in real trouble. That whole generation is damned. I mean, that's not hyperbole. Uh-huh. Really, truly in trouble.
Now, this is interesting. Because we like to deal in facts here, and the facts are that the sea levels have not risen. There are actually more icebergs now than in any other time in world history. I guess, well, since they started counting icebergs. If you go over to Plymouth Rock in Massachusetts, where the pilgrims landed, guess what? It's still there. It's not underwater. So I don't, you know, again, if it was, just think about this. If climate change was real, do you really think that Barack Hussein Obama would have dropped $11 million on a seaside mansion, knowing that it would eventually fall into the Atlantic Ocean? Do you really think that he would have done that? You see, I don't either. I don't think so. It's all a big ruse, and we love calling out these morons on it. All right, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Interesting story up at toddstearns.com. So I want to go back to this Democrat, my apologies, the Tennessee Democrats. They're having a big row of it over inmate baptisms. Now, I don't know if they do this in your neck of the woods, but in Tennessee, they have a Department of Children's Services, and they run these juvenile facilities. So if you're a kid and you rob a store, you're going to get sent to juvie. And the Department of Children's Services runs all of this stuff. So anyway, one of the detention centers not far from Memphis called the Wilder Detention Center, and they have a chapel. And a bunch of the boys got baptized. And now all of these Democrats in the state house are raising Cain. State Senator London Lamar condemned DCS. She said she was annoyed state funding was forcing religion on citizens. There's no evidence that happened. She says, I'm a proud Christian, but what I know is that many of the laws we introduce are not of God, like lynching, discrimination, greed. Great, she's comparing lynching to getting baptized. By the way, no evidence anybody was forced to get baptized. Another Democrat, Gloria Johnson, very upset, says the children are being exploited. Democrat State Senator Heidi Campbell says baptism doesn't do any good to anybody. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
As the Biden administration ratchets up its war on Americans' right to keep and bear arms, a groundbreaking new book from Regnery Publishing pushes back and offers hope for the future. Professional firearms instructor and veteran gun store owner Larry Correa's new book, In Defense of the Second Amendment, pulls back the curtain on Washington's gun-grabbing agenda and how you can protect your rights. You'll learn why gun-free zones are more dangerous for college students and average citizens, how so-called gun control laws handcuff law-abiding Americans while allowing dangerous violent criminals to run wild in our cities, and offers solid details on how America has a history of gun ownership that is under attack by liberals in Congress. If you care deeply about protecting your Second Amendment rights and keeping your family safe, you must read In Defense of the Second Amendment, new from Regnery, available now at Amazon.com and wherever books are sold.
Good to have you back with us, and I want to give you an update on this breaking news story we've been following for the past 10 minutes or so. So it's interesting, CNN has a very different take on what happened over the Black Sea. They're saying that the Russian fighter jet forced down a U.S. Air Force drone. The propeller was damaged in the attack. Fox News is saying it was just a mid-air collision, but CNN has categorized it as intentional. The Air Force issuing a statement accusing the Russians of acting in a reckless, environmentally unsound and unprofessional manner. So there you go. Several times before the collision, the SU-27s dumped fuel and flew in front of the MQ-9 in a reckless, environmentally unsound, unprofessional manner. The longer statement goes on. That's General James Hecker, the commander of U.S. Air Forces in Europe. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Good to have with us from the great state of Florida, Congressman Greg Stube, who is a military veteran. Congressman, details just kind of trickling in now, but maybe we get a reaction from you on what's being reported.
Yeah, I mean, what you just said is news to me. I hadn't seen that. So, again, it's not surprising at all that Fox and CNN have very different approaches to facts. But things like this, we typically, you don't know all the details until a little later. And I'm sure we'll be getting a briefing once we have some details from the Department of Defense.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So we'll just, again, breaking news, folks, and you know how these things go. Things change. Congressman, we're also in the throes of this this banking story, and it seems to me that, you know, they're not calling it a bailout, but it sure smells like a bailout to us.
Well, it does, and I remember, you know, back when the 2008 period of time, and we did this before, and I can tell you a Republican Congress isn't going to be keen on bailing out banks, and I don't think you're going to see that. If the money hasn't been appropriated, it's going to be very difficult for them to try to get something like that through the House. Americans are sick and tired of taxpayers bailing out all these different institutions that clearly didn't manage their resources correctly. And again, another crisis under Joe Biden. I mean, we have Ukraine and Russia. We have the complete invasion at our southern border. We have record inflation caused by their spending, which there's some arguments if you read the Wall Street Journal and you read some of these opinion pieces from economists and people that are keen on the banking industry. You dump $2 trillion on the economy just in the American Rescue Plan, and you're going to have this type of inflationary effect, and you're going to have these type of situations where banks can't handle these type of seesawing of cash and trillions of dollars on the economic market and then high interest rates. So, you know, whether the experts are going to disagree as to the reason why this happened, it's all happening under Biden and what was a Democratic majority in the House, Senate, and the White House before this January.
And keep in mind, I know they're trying to blame Trump for all of this, but that was a bipartisan piece of legislation. So you got to love the revisionist history in this nonsense.
It's shocking to me, like, even now, we're almost 3 years past Trump being president, and the left and progressives, when things aren't going their way, like Buttigieg blamed Trump for the derailment of the railroad in Ohio. It was Trump's fault. And you would have thought after, like, the first 6 months, CNN and progressives and the left would have been like, okay, we can't keep blaming Trump because we've been in control of the administration now for what is almost 3 years. But nope, they can't help themselves because they'll never take responsibility for any mistakes. They will always blame other people, despite the fact for the first 4 years I was in Congress, which was the last 4 years up to this January, Democrats were in control of the House, the Senate, and the White House. And suddenly a lot of these economic decisions are coming to roost.
Congressman Greg Stube on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Congressman, I want to move on to this great legislation that you've introduced, a bill that would install weapons lockers on Capitol Hill. Why is that? Why do you need it?
So what's fascinating is the crime that we see in D.C. is just unbelievably high, record-making. You see murders all the time, one of the highest crime rates in the entire country. And the people that work in our offices, even if they have a concealed carry permit, even if they want to carry mace, even if they want to carry things that are legally permissible, they can't carry those things into a federal building. I had one of my employees who worked for my office that was bugged outside of her home. And so walking to and from her work, she doesn't have the ability to carry anything because you're not allowed to carry anything to protect yourself into a federal building. So common sense, let's put lockers. You know, I agree we shouldn't have people coming into the federal buildings with firearms, but let's put lockers out front so that these people who work in these federal buildings who have a valid legal reason to carry and a concealed carry permit should be able to carry to protect themselves in one of the most crime-ridden cities in the entire country.
You know, Congressman, I was just back in D.C. for CPAC, and of course, it's out a bit. It's on National Harbor. But in the city itself, some of those areas look like third world countries with the tents on the sidewalks and the drug users. It's insane that this is happening in the nation's capital.
Well, it's because it's run by Democrats. It has been run by Democrats. It's like 85% Democrats. They just passed bills that Congress actually had to go in and say, no, we're not going to allow you to do this, to make it easier for criminals to get out after committing crimes. And that's the type of activity that we have because it's run by leftist progressives in our nation's capital. So it breeds homelessness. It breeds crime. And law-abiding citizens should have the ability to defend themselves.
I want to circle back to this bank crisis. There was a conversation, a Zoom call. We had Congressman Ben Klein on yesterday, and I talked to Congressman Dan Bishop's team last night, and they say that it was Senator Mark Kelly who asked the question about whether or not it was possible to censor stories about bank runs or post about bank runs on social media. Were you in on that? Did you hear any of that conversation, Congressman?
I didn't hear that, but again, it wouldn't shock me because the Democrats don't like a narrative that they can't control and would love nothing more than to censor speech. We've seen it time and time again with social media companies where the government's trying to tell them what to allow people to say and not say. We've seen it now with the FTC report that we just issued in the select committee of the weaponization of the federal government. where the FTC is just inundating Elon Musk and Twitter with all of these different administrative things trying to shut them down, because now suddenly Elon Musk is allowing speech on their platform and they've controlled it for so long. You're seeing that time and time again, and it's a dangerous, dangerous road for us to be going down in our country, where elected national leaders are saying that speech that they don't agree with should be censored. Well, that's the type of stuff you saw in Chinese Communist Party in China, where you saw in Nazi Germany. That's the type of things that's very, very dangerous to be walking down that road.
You're absolutely right about that, Congressman. I appreciate Senator Kelly actually saying what he said, because at least we know where he stands on the issue. But I really appreciate those Republicans that were in on that call that said, hey, you're not going to believe what we just heard, but we need to know about this. And it's frightening, like you said, to think that kind of thinking exists in the halls of Congress.
It does. And these are statewide elected leaders. I mean, he's a state senator. And the Democrats control the Senate chamber right now, unfortunately.
Right.
And it's a real real sacrifice and attack on our constitutional rights.
Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. Appreciate the great work you're doing. Apologize for dropping that breaking news on you, but I'm sure we'll be getting updates throughout the day.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Congressman Greg Stube out of Florida. And we will be keeping you updated on whatever happened. But if, in fact, the CNN narrative is correct, and they're actually quoting the U.S. Air Force, Fox did not have that update. But if that's the case, then the Russians shot down one of our drones, or at least forced it down. Unbelievable. By the way, talking about censorship, I want to go back to Fox News for just a moment. It was Kevin McCarthy who gave Tucker Carlson 41,000 hours of videotape, surveillance tape from the J6 riot. We have seen exactly a handful of clips. Well, that's not exactly, but we've seen a handful of clips on the first day of Carlson's expose. And that's it. We haven't seen anything else. Any of you wonder what happened to the 41,000 hours of surveillance video? Seems to me if Fox News, and I suspect that management at Fox News is cracking down on Tucker, and they're not going to let him air that video. So it seems to me that Kevin McCarthy ought to release that video to the public. And if Fox is not going to broadcast the footage, go ahead and put it out there for the rest of us to see. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Beloved author and media host Eric Metaxas tackles religious liberty, Marxism, the calling of the American church, and the cost of its silence in his new best-selling book, Letter to the American Church. With today's church at a crossroads, Metaxas looks to the German church of the 1930s and how its silence impacted world events. He cautions the American church not to make the same mistakes, as today's Christians face a crucial decision to stand up to the forces of evil slowly enslaving our culture. By discussing current issues, historical events, and prophetic warnings, Metaxas teaches us to champion the truth when it's needed most. With compelling logic and historical support, this book examines where the church has been and where it's potentially headed. Get your copy of Letter to the American Church, available now at Amazon.com and wherever books are sold.
All right, the New York Times has some additional intel here. This is from U.S. European Command. So they say our drone, and this thing is huge. It's like a plane. This MQ-9 Reaper drone was intercepted by the Russian warplane over the Black Sea. The Russian warplane struck the drone's propeller, and the drone crashed into the Black Sea. John Kirby, National Security Council spokesman, said that Biden has been briefed about the incident. There was no immediate comment from the Russians. So there you go. They're saying that the incident demonstrates a lack of competence. It was unsafe and unprofessional. So the question is, did they do it intentionally? the story here is the Russians downed one of our aircraft. What are we going to do about it? What should we do about it? 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones. Mark in the Villages, America's friendliest hometown. Mark, I know you want to weigh in on Tucker. What's up?
Isn't it strange, ever since Tucker got the truth out about September 6th, September 6th, and he got the first series out, and they were going to get the second one out, and now all of a sudden he's trash-talking Trump as well? Isn't that a little bit fishy? It seems a little bit strange to me.
Yeah, it's odd. What do you make of it, Mark? What's your gut telling you?
They threatened him. That they told him that he needs to step it down. If he doesn't, he's going to be stepping out. I'll bet you any amount of money, I'd bet my last paycheck on it, that he's been threatened. He has absolutely been threatened. Yep, I totally think he was.
It's strange because it's, you know, we've got 41,000, hours. And is that all they got out of it, that those two segments on the first night? That was it. I guess that's what they want us to believe.
Yeah, there's a lot more to it. There's a lot more to it, and they're just kind of they're just keeping us out of the loop is what it is. We know the truth. We know what's going on.
Well, if I was Newsmax, I'd be on the phone with McCarthy and say, "Give us the video and we'll unleash our whole news network and we'll go to town with it."
Yeah, and you know what was that thing you were mentioning about too with Biden saying climate change, that our next generation of kids are going to be destroyed if we don't fix it? It's not climate change that's going to destroy this country. It's going to be that idiot that's destroying this country.
Yeah, he's going to get us. He is going to get us in World War III if we are not careful. But I will say this, we cannot have the Russians shooting down any U.S. aircraft. I don't care if it's a drone or not.
Totally agree. But he probably won't do nothing about it.
No, you know he's not.
Picture before.
Yeah, you know he's not going to do anything about it.
Nope. We've seen this picture before.
We have. Mark, appreciate the call. Good hearing from you. Wow. It's, this is crazy. We can't allow the Russians to do this. This cannot go unanswered. Unless the Russians come back and say, oopsie, our bad. But really, do you believe that? You really believe that the Russians just inadvertently ran into an American drone over the middle of the Black Sea? I mean, come on, for crying out loud. All right, I want to get back to this story from Tennessee, my home state, where the Democrats are very upset because they're actually allowing pastors to come in and preach chapel services at a detention center for kids. These are bad kids. They've done some really stupid stuff. They've been taken out of their home and they placed into state custody, and so they have these chapel services. And a bunch of people decided to come forward and accept Christ. And what do you do? Well, when you accept Christ, the first thing you do is make a public profession of that, and that is symbolized in the baptism. So there is a radical leftist state senator from Memphis. Her name is London Lamar, and she's been leading the charge here, condemning children's services for baptizing the kids. Another state senator, she's a Democrat, Heidi Campbell, says baptism does not repair chronic abuse, unsafe living conditions, poor education, or utter disregard for the mental and emotional health of these struggling youths in state custody. Do you believe that? I believe that baptism cures all of that. Another person, State Representative Gloria Johnson, says that they felt exploited. The children were exploited. And one person wrote, "Greetings from the Christo-Fascist Republic of Tennessee." I didn't know we had that many godless heathens living in my state. Jeez, aloo. All right, let's go to Robert in Georgia, wants to weigh in on that drone that just got shot down. Hey, Robert, what you got for us?
Well, Todd, we love your show, and I love America. But my question is, why is the U.S. drone over there?
Well,
that's all I got. But I love your show, man.
Thank you, Robert. Yeah, look, it's a great question. You know, their planes are over here, ours are over there. International water, everybody seems to be making that known. This was over international airspace, international water. But it's a good question. I'm not sure what it was doing over there.
you know, Joe sent a lot of our stuff over there, money-wise and everything else. I wish all of our troops were on our shores.
I wish that drone was flying up and down our southern border. I'll give you that much.
Sure, exactly. A good place for it. And besides, what if there was a Russian drone over the Chesapeake Bay?
Well, you got it, Robert. All right, thanks a lot. We appreciate our friends over at WTUN in Georgia. It's a great question. All right, 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. We're going to be taking your calls on this breaking news out of the Black Sea, where the Russians have forced down a U.S. drone, and it is a big bird, too, 66 feet wingspan. And we are waiting for official comment from the White House. We understand Biden has been informed. New York Times says that the plane was forced down. It was the propeller was damaged in the attack. Fox News is just saying it was a collision. But they're not saying anything nefarious. CNN, New York Times, and they're quoting military officials. Fox does not have that information just yet, which is kind of surprising. But maybe they're too busy hiding all of the Tucker Carlson video. Who knows? All right, we got to take a break here, folks. We've got our good friend Jeff Stein, who is coming up. Also, we're checking in with Congressman Eric Burleson from Missouri, making his debut appearance on the Todd Starnes radio program. Hey, don't forget to head over to the website. Check out our great stories we've got posted. News information you will not find anywhere else, but you're going to find it at ToddStarnes.com.
Did you know that the Christian faith led to the scientific revolution and gave us modern science? Did you know that atheism is incompatible with science? Did you know they have recently identified the very stones where Jesus stood before Pilate and the stone Bema upon which Pilate himself sat? Eric Metaxas answers these questions and more in his best-selling book, Is Atheism Dead? While culture tells us we started off as goo and that God is just a figment of our imagination, plain logic and reason informs us otherwise. Eric Metaxas brings in evidence from multiple fields, including archaeology, physics, and nanoscience, showing there has never been more evidence of God and a created universe. Written in a way that will open your eyes and unveil the answers to our biggest questions about human existence. Get your copy of Is Atheism Dead? At Amazon.com and wherever books are sold.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Oh, yeah. Wow, we got a lot going on today. Pardon me. So, big Easter egg drama to tell you about, and you gotta hate PETA. Man, those folks. You know, they're always in a perpetually bad mood, and I have a theory about this. The reason why the PETA crowd is always in a foul mood is because they don't eat meat. I think it is that straightforward. They just don't have enough meat in their diet. So anyway, PETA's all upset because of the annual White House Easter egg roll. It has ruffled feathers among the anti-poultry crowd. They're calling on First Lady Dr. Mrs. Jill Biden to stop using real chicken eggs in the Easter egg roll. Now, let me stop you here. I thought, for some reason, I just thought they always used the wooden eggs that were, you know, dyed, and the kids roll them around with the spoon or whatever. But apparently, those are actually real eggs. American farmers have donated more than 70,000 eggs every year for the annual Easter egg tradition right outside the White House on the lawn. So Ingrid Newkirk is the PETA president, and she's very upset. She says, quote, chickens are smart, sensitive animals who feel pain and empathy. They have distinct personalities, and at just a few days old, they can count and perform basic addition and subtraction. yet they are factory farmed in hen prisons, and the eggs they produce are stolen for humans to eat. Yes, as God intended. Might I also add to what PETA says that chickens are also delicious, especially if they are dipped in batter and deep fried. So now the PETA crowd wants the White House to either use plastic eggs or wooden eggs. And if those options aren't available, they recommended painting rocks that look like eggs. Now, I don't know about you, but every now and again, you just got to tell these mother cluckers to cluck off. PETA goes on to say, children who have a natural empathy for animals would be saddened to learn that the eggs at this family event came from mothers who spent their entire lives in cages smaller than a letter-sized sheet of paper, unable to lift a single wing, and were taken from her as soon as they were laid. It's a most foul irony, they said. So, I don't. You got a problem with this, folks? Do you really? Is that one of the most pressing problems in America, that they actually use hard-boiled eggs that have been dyed and laid on the White House lawn for the children to roll around? Anyway, there you go. We've got the story up on ToddStearns.com. Seems to me, PETA, they're happy to hop on down that bunny trail and dye whatever the heck they want to dye, whether it's the rocks or a block of fermented soy. Unbelievable. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. President Trump weighs in on the new DeSantis nickname. This is from the Daily Caller. Kerry Rogers is the writer. Former President Donald Trump weighed in on a nickname he reportedly might use for Republican Governor Ron DeSantis. It was reported that Trump is considering calling DeSantis Tiny D. Something. Wow. I thought they were going with DeSanctimonious. Trump has not publicly called the Florida governor any particular nickname. The Daily Caller asked Trump about the nickname during an interview with a few other reporters on his name, on his plane. Quote, Tiny D is good. Tiny D. Trump said, remember this, if it weren't for me, Ron DeSanctimonious would right now be working at a law firm or maybe a Pizza Hut. I don't know. Earlier in the day, Trump told reporters the nickname Meatball Ron is too crude to use to describe DeSantis. Quote, I don't use that name. It's used by other people. I don't like that name. I think it's too crude. So wait a second. Let me get this straight here. Tiny D is okay, but Meatball Ron is too crude. All right. All right. What do y'all think about the president's nickname for DeSantis? Is it good? Is that going to stick, Tiny D? You know DeSantis is going to come out with something, so we'll see how that goes. All right, President Biden accidentally revealed how bad things are for poor President Carter, who is in hospice care. Biden says that President Carter has asked him to deliver the eulogy at his death. So certainly pray for the Carter family. That's a terrible story. So our good friend Paul Shanklin, who used to pal around with Rush Limbaugh in the day, but now pals around with us, sent us a musical salute, a sort of blast from the past, and it ties in very well with the banking crisis that's going on right now across America. You might remember Barney Frank back in the day, and Barney Frank was known as the banking queen. He is also on the board of directors of Signature Bank, which went belly up in New York. By the way, they quit doing business with Trump, which could be one of the reasons why they went belly up. So anyway, we thought you might enjoy this musical selection, A Blast from the Past.
Yeah!
get your house and use it. Go ahead, abuse it. You can do anything. Go out and have a queen. I am the banking queen. Hold and sweep it into my sleep. Banking queen, don't complain or you'll hear me say, you can build, you can buy.
Oh, Lord, there's more. There's more.
Make the loan so it's your me. Hi, my friends, the furniture needed. Do it my way or beat it while the stock's crashing. That doesn't mean a thing. I'm still the banking queen. Never spanked for a single thing.
The docile tones of Paul Shanklin and Barney Frank. Let me give you some background here on what's going on, because they're trying to blame Trump for these bank failures. But that's just simply not accurate. It was Barney Frank, the former Democrat, who co-sponsored the law that tightened banking regulations after the financial crisis, but he's also been on the board of directors at Signature Bank. And part of what former President Trump signed into law in 2018 raised the asset threshold to $250 billion, meaning Signature and other banks, this is from the Wall Street Journal, no longer needed to comply with the extra regulations set out in Dodd-Frank. And after that bill was signed, Signature Bank doubled in size to $110 billion in assets. And Barney Frank is raking in $2.4 million in compensation right now from Signature Bank. Barney Frank rejected the idea that the regulatory change abetted Signature's collapse. I don't know about that. But what I can tell you is this, that the Biden administration sees this as an opportunity to crack down on regional and smaller banks and consolidate those banks into the larger banks out there. This is nothing more than an attempt to nationalize banking in America. That's what's going on here. So pay attention in the coming days and see what happens next. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
As the Biden administration ratchets up its war on Americans' right to keep and bear arms, a groundbreaking new book from Regnery Publishing pushes back and offers hope for the future. Professional firearms instructor and veteran gun store owner Larry Correa's new book, In Defense of the Second Amendment, pulls back the curtain on Washington's gun-grabbing agenda and how you can protect your rights. You'll learn why gun-free zones are more dangerous for college students and average citizens, how so-called gun control laws handcuff law-abiding Americans while allowing dangerous violent criminals to run wild in our cities, and offers solid details on how America has a history of gun ownership that is under attack by liberals in Congress. If you care deeply about protecting your Second Amendment rights and keeping your family safe, you must read In Defense of the Second Amendment, new from Regnery, available now at Amazon.com and wherever books are sold.
We'll be right back.
All right, folks, a bit of breaking news to share with you. This happening over international airspace over the Black Sea, where a U.S. Reaper drone has collided with a Russian jet. This is a Russian Su-27 jet. Now, the MQ-9 Reaper, this is not like the little drone you fly in your backyard. This sucker is pretty big. I think it's got a wingspan of about 66 feet. So this is a big, big drone. It has a maximum payload of 3,800 pounds and can actually be armed with Hellfire missiles. We don't know what was on that drone. This is from Fox News. This, again, just breaking, so we don't have a lot of information here. It was one of two Su-27s flying. Again, international airspace, international waters. The propeller to the drone was damaged. It landed in the Black Sea west of Crimea. The Russian jet was headed toward Crimea and apparently landed. So that's all the information we have right now. We will keep you updated. I'm telling you, this administration and this Pentagon, they are going to walk us right into a shooting war with the Russians if we're not careful. This is just crazy. So we'll keep you updated on this big breaking news story coming out of the Black Sea. Oh, this is an interesting story. The South by Southwest Festival underway in Austin. And a British actress, her name is Tilda Swinton. I like her. She says that she will not wear a mask on the set of her new project, even though she was told that she had to wear a mask. She was doing an interview, giving a keynote address at South by Southwest, the big festival. She said, "I'm actually just about to start shooting a picture in Ireland. I was told, full disclosure, and I'm sure this is being recorded, people in Ireland might hear it, to wear a mask at all times. And I'm not wearing a mask because I'm super healthy. And I've had COVID so many times, I'm so full of antibodies, and I have faith." And she also complimented the crowd in Austin for not wearing face masks themselves. She says, "It's very nice to see your faces unmasked." Swinton previously spoke of her affinity for cinema 9 years ago at the festival, said the pandemic had only amplified the film industry, and went on to deliver a very nice speech. So I'm glad to see at least one person in Hollywood that's standing up and saying, "Yeah, we're not going to do this anymore." Because when I was in Washington, D.C. for CPAC, I had never seen so many people wearing the face burkas. I mean, it was insane. Just about everybody walking around, and you knew they were Democrats, was wearing one of those masks. Absolutely unbelievable. So good for you, ma'am. I appreciate you taking a good stand there. All right, coming up a little bit later, we're going to be talking to Congressman Greg Stube from Florida, also Jeff Stein from KXEL, and Congressman Eric Burleson is going to be here. He's just getting back from the border, interested to get his thoughts after they had so many, 1,000 or so illegals try and storm our border. When we get back to President Biden, President Biden, again, says that climate change is a real thing, and he says if we don't do something, an entire generation is going to be lost. Cut number 8.
If we don't keep the temperature from going above 1.5 degrees Celsius raised, then we're in real trouble. That whole generation is damned. I mean, that's not hyperbole. Uh-huh. Really, truly in trouble.
Now, this is interesting, because we like to deal in facts here, and the facts are that the sea levels have not risen. There are actually more icebergs now than in any other time in world history. I guess, well, since they started counting icebergs. If you go over to Plymouth Rock in Massachusetts, where the pilgrims landed, guess what? It's still there. It's not underwater. So I don't, you know, again, if it was, just think about this. If climate change was real, do you really think that Barack Hussein Obama would have dropped $11 million on a seaside mansion, knowing that it would eventually fall into the Atlantic Ocean? Do you really think that he would have done that? You see, I don't either. I don't think so. It's all a big ruse, and we love calling out these morons on it. All right, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Interesting story up at toddstarns.com. So I want to go back to this Democrat, the Tennessee Democrats. They're having a big row of it over inmate baptisms. Now, I don't know if they do this in your neck of the woods, but in Tennessee, they have a Department of Children's Services, and they run these juvenile facilities. So if you're a kid and you rob a store, you're going to get sent to juvie. And the Department of Children's Services runs all of this stuff. So anyway, one of the detention centers not far from Memphis called the Wilder Detention Center, and they have a chapel. And a bunch of the boys got baptized. And now all of these Democrats in the State House are raising Cain. State Senator London Lamar condemned DCS. She said she was annoyed state funding was forcing religion on citizens. There's no evidence that happened. She says, I'm a proud Christian, but what I know is that many of the laws we introduce are not of God, like lynching, discrimination, greed. Great, she's comparing lynching to getting baptized. By the way, no evidence anybody was forced to get baptized. Another Democrat, Gloria Johnson, very upset, says the children are being exploited. Democrat State Senator Heidi Campbell says baptism doesn't do any good to anybody. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
Did you know that the Christian faith led to the scientific revolution and gave us modern science? Did you know that atheism is incompatible with science? Did you know they have recently identified the very stones where Jesus stood before Pilate and the stone Bema upon which Pilate himself sat? Eric Metaxas answers these questions and more in his best-selling book, Is Atheism Dead? While culture tells us we started off as goo and that God is just a figment of our imagination, plain logic and reason informs us otherwise. Eric Metaxas brings in evidence from multiple fields, including archaeology, physics, and nanoscience, showing there has never been more evidence of God and a created universe. Written in a way that will open your eyes and unveil the answers to our biggest questions about human existence. Get your copy of Is Atheism Dead? At Amazon.com and wherever books are sold.
Good to have you back with us, and I want to give you an update on this breaking news story we've been following for the past 10 minutes or so. So it's interesting, CNN has a very different take on what happened over the Black Sea. They're saying that the Russian fighter jet forced down a U.S. Air Force drone. The propeller was damaged in the attack. Fox News is saying it was just a mid-air collision, but CNN has categorized it as intentional. The Air Force issuing a statement accusing the Russians of acting in a reckless, environmentally unsound and unprofessional manner. So there you go. Several times before the collision, the SU-27s dumped fuel and flew in front of the MQ-9 in a reckless, environmentally unsound, unprofessional manner. The longer statement goes on. That's General James Hecker, the commander of U.S. Air Forces in Europe. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Good to have with us from the great state of Florida, Congressman Greg Stube, who is a military veteran. Congressman, details just kind of trickling in now, but maybe we get a reaction from you on what's being reported.
Yeah, I mean, what you just said is news to me. I hadn't seen that. So, again, it's not surprising at all that Fox and CNN have very different approaches to facts. But things like this, we typically, you don't know all the details until a little later. And I'm sure we'll be getting a briefing once we have some details from the Department of Defense.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So we'll just, again, breaking news, folks, and you know how these things go. Things change. Congressman, we're also in the throes of this this banking story, and it seems to me that, you know, they're not calling it a bailout, but it sure smells like a bailout to us.
Well, it does, and I remember, you know, back when the 2008 period of time, and we did this before, and I can tell you a Republican Congress isn't going to be keen on bailing out banks, and I don't think you're going to see that. If the money hasn't been appropriated, it's going to be very difficult for them to try to get something like that through the House. Americans are sick and tired of taxpayers bailing out all these different institutions that clearly didn't manage their resources correctly. And again, another crisis under Joe Biden. I mean, we have Ukraine and Russia. We have the complete invasion at our southern border. We have record inflation caused by their spending, which there's some arguments if you read the Wall Street Journal and you read some of these opinion pieces from economists and people that are keen on the banking industry. You dump $2 trillion on the economy just in the American Rescue Plan, and you're going to have this type of inflationary effect, and you're going to have these type of situations where banks can't handle these type of seesawing of cash and trillions of dollars on the economic market and then high interest rates. So, you know, whether the experts are going to disagree as to the reason why this happened, it's all happening under Biden and what was a Democratic majority in the House, Senate, and the White House before this January.
And keep in mind, I know they're trying to blame Trump for all of this, but that was a bipartisan piece of legislation. So you got to love the revisionist history in this nonsense.
It's shocking to me, like, even now, we're almost 3 years past Trump being president, and the left and progressives, when things aren't going their way, like Buttigieg blamed Trump for the derailment of the railroad in Ohio. It was Trump's fault. And you would have thought after like the first 6 months, CNN and progressives and the left would have been like, okay, we can't keep blaming Trump because we've been in control of the administration now for what is almost 3 years. But nope, they can't help themselves because they'll never take responsibility for any mistakes. They will always blame other people, despite the fact for the first 4 years I was in Congress, which was the last 4 years up to this January, Democrats were in control of the House, the Senate, and the White House. And suddenly a lot of these economic decisions are coming to roost.
Congressman Greg Stube on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Congressman, I want to move on to this great legislation that you've introduced, a bill that would install weapons lockers on Capitol Hill. Why is that? Why do you need it?
So what's fascinating is the crime that we see in D.C. is just unbelievably high, record-making. You see murders all the time, one of the highest crime rates in the entire country. And the people that work in our offices, even if they have a concealed carry permit, even if they want to carry mace, even if they want to carry things that are legally permissible, they can't carry those things into a federal building. I had one of my employees who worked for my office that was bugged outside of her home. And so walking to and from her work, she doesn't have the ability to carry anything because you're not allowed to carry anything to protect yourself into a federal building. So common sense, let's put lockers. You know, I agree we shouldn't have people coming into the federal buildings with firearms, but let's put lockers out front so that these people who work in these federal buildings who have a valid legal reason to carry and a concealed carry permit should be able to carry to protect themselves in one of the most crime-ridden cities in the entire country.
You know, Congressman, I was just back in D.C. for CPAC, and of course, it's out a bit. It's on National Harbor. But in the city itself, some of those areas look like third world countries with the tents on the sidewalks and the drug users. It's insane that this is happening in the nation's capital.
Well, it's because it's run by Democrats. It has been run by Democrats. It's like 85% Democrats. They just passed bills that Congress actually had to go in and say, no, we're not going to allow you to do this, to make it easier for criminals to get out after committing crimes. And that's the type of activity that we have because it's run by leftist progressives in our nation's capital. So it breeds homelessness. It breeds crime. And law-abiding citizens should have the ability to defend themselves.
I want to go back. I want to circle back to this bank crisis. There was a conversation, a Zoom call. We had Congressman Ben Klein on yesterday, and we also and I talked to Congressman Dan Bishop's team last night, and they say that it was Senator Mark Kelly who asked the question about whether or not it was possible to censor stories about bank runs or post about bank runs on social media. Were you in on that? Did you hear any of that conversation, Congressman?
I didn't hear that, but again, it wouldn't shock me because the Democrats don't like a narrative that they can't control and would love nothing more than to censor speech. We've seen it time and time again with social media companies where the government's trying to tell them what to allow people to say and not say. We've seen it now with the FTC report that we just issued in the Select Committee of the Weaponization of the Federal Government, where the FTC is just inundating Elon Musk and Twitter with all of these different administrative things trying to shut them down because now suddenly Elon Musk is allowing speech on their platform and they've controlled it for so long. You're seeing that time and time again, and it's a dangerous, dangerous road for us to be going down in our country where elected national leaders are saying that speech that they don't agree with should be censored. Well, that's the type of stuff you saw in Chinese Communist Party in China, where you saw in Nazi Germany. That's the type of things that's very, very dangerous to be walking down that road.
You're absolutely right about that, Congressman. I appreciate Senator Kelly actually saying what he said, because at least we know where he stands on the issue. But I really appreciate those Republicans that were in on that call that said, hey, you're not going to believe what we just heard, but we need to know about this. And it's frightening, like you said, to think that kind of thinking exists in the halls of Congress.
It does. And these are statewide elected leaders. I mean, he's a state senator. And the Democrats control the Senate chamber right now, unfortunately.
Right.
And it's a real real sacrifice and attack on our constitutional rights.
Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. Appreciate the great work you're doing. Apologize for dropping that breaking news on you, but I'm sure we'll be getting updates throughout the day.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Congressman Greg Stube out of Florida. And we will be keeping you updated on whatever happened. But if, in fact, the CNN narrative is correct, and they're actually quoting the U.S. Air Force, Fox did not have that update. But if that's the case, then the Russians shot down one of our drones, or at least forced it down. Unbelievable. By the way, talking about censorship, I want to go back to Fox News for just a moment. It was Kevin McCarthy who gave Tucker Carlson 41,000 hours of videotape, surveillance tape from the J6 riot. We have seen exactly a handful of clips. Well, that's not exactly, but we've seen a handful of clips on the first day of Carlson's expose. And that's it. We haven't seen anything else. Any of you wonder what happened to the 41,000 hours of surveillance video? Seems to me if Fox News, and I suspect that management at Fox News is cracking down on Tucker, and they're not going to let him air that video. So it seems to me that Kevin McCarthy ought to release that video to the public. And if Fox is not going to broadcast the footage, go ahead and put it out there for the rest of us to see. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Beloved author and media host Eric Metaxas tackles religious liberty, Marxism, the calling of the American church, and the cost of its silence in his new best-selling book, Letter to the American Church. With today's church at a crossroads, Metaxas looks to the German church of the 1930s and how its silence impacted world events. He cautions the American church not to make the same mistakes, as today's Christians face a crucial decision to stand up to the forces of evil slowly enslaving our culture. By discussing current issues, historical events, and prophetic warnings, Metaxas teaches us to champion the truth when it's needed most. With compelling logic and historical support, this book examines where the church has been and where it's potentially headed. Get your copy of Letter to the American Church, available now at Amazon.com and wherever books are sold.
All right, the New York Times has some additional intel here. This is from U.S. European Command. So they say our drone, and this thing is huge. It's like a plane. This MQ-9 Reaper drone was intercepted by the Russian warplane over the Black Sea. The Russian warplane struck the drone's propeller, and the drone crashed into the Black Sea. John Kirby, National Security Council spokesman, said that Biden has been briefed about the incident. There was no immediate comment from the Russians. So there you go. They're saying that the incident demonstrates a lack of competence. It was unsafe and unprofessional. So the question is, did they do it intentionally? I mean, the story here is the Russians downed one of our aircraft. What are we going to do about it? What should we do about it? 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones. Mark in the Villages, America's friendliest hometown. Mark, I know you want to weigh in on Tucker. What's up?
Isn't it strange, ever since Tucker got the truth out about September 6th, September 6th, and he got the first series out, and they were going to get the second one out, and now all of a sudden he's trash-talking Trump as well? Isn't that a little bit fishy? It seems a little bit strange to me.
Yeah, it's odd. What do you make of it, Mark? What's your gut telling you?
They threatened him, but they told him that he needs to step it down. If he doesn't, he's going to be stepping out. I'll bet you any amount of money, I'd bet my last paycheck on it, that he's been threatened. He has absolutely been threatened. Yep, I totally think he was.
It's strange because it's, you know, we've got 41,000, hours. And is that all they got out of it, that those two segments on the first night? That was it. I guess that's what they want us to believe.
Yeah, there's a lot more to it. There's a lot more to it. And they're just kind of, they're just keeping us out of the loop is what it is. We know the truth. We know what's going on.
Well, if I was Newsmax, I'd be on the phone with McCarthy and say, give us the video and we'll unleash our whole news network and we'll go to town with it.
Yeah. And, you know, what was that thing you were mentioning about, too, with Biden saying climate change, that our next generation of kids are going to be destroyed if we don't fix it? It's not climate change that's going to destroy this country. It's going to be that idiot that's destroying this country.
Yeah, he's going to get us. He is going to get us in World War III if we are not careful. But I will say this: we cannot have the Russians shooting down any U.S. aircraft. I don't care if it's a drone or not.
Totally agree. But he probably won't do nothing about it.
No, you know he's not.
Picture before.
Yeah, you know he's not going to do anything about it.
Nope. We've seen this picture before.
We have. Mark, appreciate the call. Good hearing from you. Wow, it's this is crazy. We can't allow the Russians to do this. This cannot go unanswered. Unless the Russians come back and say, oopsie, our bad. But really, do you believe that? You really believe that the Russians just inadvertently ran into an American drone in over the middle of the Black Sea? I mean, come on, for crying out loud. All right, I want to get back to this story from Tennessee, my home state, where the Democrats are very upset because they're actually allowing pastors to come in and preach chapel services at a detention center for kids. These are bad kids. They've done some really stupid stuff. They've been taken out of their home and they placed into state custody, and so they have these chapel services. And a bunch of people decided to come forward and accept Christ. And what do you do? Well, when you accept Christ, the first thing you do is make a public profession of that, and that is symbolized in the baptism. So there is a radical leftist state senator from Memphis. Her name is London Lamar, and she's been leading the charge here, condemning children's services for baptizing the kids. Another state senator, she's a Democrat, Heidi Campbell, says baptism does not repair chronic abuse, unsafe living conditions, poor education, or utter disregard for the mental and emotional health of these struggling youths in state custody. Do you believe that? I believe that baptism cures all of that. Another person, State Representative Gloria Johnson, says that they felt exploited. The children were exploited. And one person wrote, "Greetings from the Christo-Fascist Republic of Tennessee." I didn't know we had that many godless heathens living in my state. Jeez aloo. All right, let's go to Robert in Georgia, wants to weigh in on that drone that just got shot down. Hey, Robert, what you got for us?
Well, Todd, we love your show, and I love America. But my question is, why is the U.S. drone over there?
Well,
that's all I got. But I love your show, man.
Thank you, Robert. Yeah, look, it's a great question. You know, their planes are over here, ours are over there. International water from, I mean, everybody seems to be making that known. This was over international airspace, international water. But it's a good question. I'm not sure what it was doing over there.
You know, Joe sent a lot of our stuff over there, money wise and everything else. I wish all of our troops were on our shores.
I wish that drone was flying up and down our southern border. I'll give you that much.
Sure, exactly. A good place for it. And besides, what if there was a Russian drone over the Chesapeake Bay?
Well, you got it, Robert. All right, thanks a lot. We appreciate our friends over at WTUN in Georgia. It's a great question. All right, 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. We're going to be taking your calls on this breaking news out of the Black Sea, where the Russians have forced down a U.S. drone, and it is a big bird, too, 66 feet wingspan. And we are waiting for official comment from the White House. We understand Biden has been informed. New York Times says that the plane was forced down. It was the propeller was damaged in the attack. Fox News is just saying it was a collision. But they're not saying anything nefarious. CNN, New York Times, and they're quoting military officials. Fox does not have that information just yet, which is kind of surprising. But maybe they're too busy hiding all of the Tucker Carlson video. Who knows? All right, we got to take a break here, folks. We've got our good friend Jeff Stein, who is coming up. Also, we're checking in with Congressman Eric Burleson from Missouri, making his debut appearance on the Todd Starnes radio program. Hey, don't forget to head over to the website. Check out our great stories we've got posted. News information you will not find anywhere else, but you're going to find it at ToddStarnes.com.
For over 22 years, Selective Search has been the nation's leading matchmaking firm. We are seeking single, down-to-earth, Republican bachelors with Christian family values. We represent California women of substance who are looking for the one. We invite you to join our complimentary candidate program. Visit SelectiveSearch.com today. Spend your time falling in love, not searching for it, at SelectiveSearch.com.